and put on your garments of peace, your garments of sound mind. We come to put on your garments of the fruits of the Spirit, that we may represent you, O Lord. That we may be the exact representation of Jesus was when he took step on this earth. He says, I only do what I see the Father do, and I only say what I hear the Father say. We've come to be clothed and wrapped in you, Lord. All foreign clothing is stripped from us, God. All of our flesh to be taken away, that we may reflect only you. Our faith is that of the Son of God. So God, he dwells within us. So Father, we live out the very Spirit that abides within us. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for living with us. You are not a God that is far from us. You are a God that lives among us. Thank you for that. Thank you for the breath that you put in our lives.
Father, we acknowledge your who you are, acknowledge your presence, acknowledge our need for you, Father. We acknowledge that if it's a good thing, it comes from you, Father. So, as we look into your word this morning, Father, I pray that you would bring light and life. May we all have open hearts, ears to hear, and eyes to see this morning, Father, and let your word do its work in Jesus' name.
In nombre de Cristo, oramos, amén.
We kind of started a little differently, so I'll say good morning. Good to assemble with y'all this morning.
Bueno, con ustedes, good to, como siempre,
join and worship with you.
Convivir en adoración. And,
my prayer is always that
mis oraciones son
God is
que, que Dios sea entronado en este lugar, en lo que estamos ofreciendo en adoración y alabanza.
So, we're going to continue on this morning and looking at more of the story of David.
Vamos a seguir platicando de la historia de David.
First Samuel chapter 25.
Vamos a ver primero en 1 Samuel capítulo 25.
I'll read part of it to get started here and then see where we go. There's just so much. Let me just kind of give you this somewhat of an explanation. I am not trying to dig out every morsel of every bit of these stories, the whole life of David as we go. If I tried to do that,
si yo trataba de hacer eso,
and dug, si we would be here for about a decade.
Estaríamos aquí por muchos años.
What I am
estudiando estas enseñanzas, lo que
in this process is
lo que estoy hablando, lo que estamos oyendo, lo que podemos usar para edificarlos donde estamos ahorita. Si siente que algo está faltando, si oyes algo que te interesa, y deja eso que Dios trabaje en ti en eso. Que la palabra que hable a ti, a tu corazón, a tu vida. Dios es fiel a eso.
Nomás
porque yo me estoy tomando una cierta ruta, no necesariamente que ustedes están restringidos en eso. Hay muchas.
Be sensitive to what stirs your heart in any teaching to the congregation. Anything that comes, be sensitive to what stirs your heart. And respond to that by digging in deeper. And you'll find things that apply to you and change something in you specifically. And it will always be for good.
Siempre va a ser algo para lo bueno, para lo mejor, para bueno.
First Samuel 25 begins with a simple verse that it's an odd thing that such an important era in Israel is ended with just this verse. Samuel died.
Murió Samuel.
And all Israel assembled.
Y todo Israel se reunió para su funeral. Lo enterraron en su casa en Ramá. Luego David bajó al desierto de Moral. Había un
rico de Moral que
tenía propiedades
cercas
de la ciudad de
Carmelo.
Tenía 3,000 ovejas y 1,000 cabras.
Samuel was
y era el tiempo
individual, an incredible prophet of God. And he had served the Lord 52 years, basically from birth. He's about 52 when he died. And he had seen the people call out for a king. He had been required to anoint 2 kings in the process of that.
Reyes en ese proceso.
And delivered some of the hardest words of the Lord that could ever be delivered. To tell a king, the kingdom has been ripped from you. That's a hard word to deliver to a man with the power of the king of Israel. You know, that you go tell the king, you're done. What would you expect if you go tell a man of great power something he does not want to hear? He's not going to pat you on the back, but yet Samuel was always obedient. He came and
Samuel
gave the word of the Lord. He cried out to the Lord for
Israel.
He prayed for Israel.
Por años y años él oraba por Israel. Esa era ya se acabó.
And he's buried.
Lo enterraron.
I'm not sure exactly what I'm supposed to get out of that personally, but I do know that in the last few days I've considered how little time we have.
Qué tiempo corto tenemos.
We're supposed to get done.
para terminar lo que tenemos que hacer.
Y
en 50 años tengo más el tiempo más corto que como antes.
Jokingly talk about having a body of somebody 25 years older than me. That it is sort of a joke and it's sort of the truth. And so I consider, you know, how much more time do I have to be obedient?
¿Cuántos años tengo yo para ser obediente y hacer lo que Dios me ha llamado?
Great depression on the congregation in teaching about numbering your days. And how many days do you have left?
If you look
at the number of days you have left, just in, on average, it will depress you.
But
one thing for sure is we have today.
Pero una cosa sí de seguro
today
que tenemos ahora. Tenemos ahora.
Not guaranteed of tomorrow.
Mañana no estamos garantizados para mañana.
Dwelling on what am I going to get done over the next 10, 15, 20, 30 years? How about what am I supposed to accomplish for God in my life before I go to bed tonight? That's an easier one to deal with.
Eso es más fácil
para hacer. That's what we ought to deal with every day. Consider that. So, I'm just that was just an intro. Leave the death of Samuel now for a while and look at verse 2 and beyond. I'm just going to read for a little while. There was a man in Maon whose business was in Carmel. This man was very wealthy. He owned 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and at that time he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. The man's name was Nabal, and his wife's name was Abigail. She was both wise and beautiful, but the man was harsh, and his deeds were evil. He was a Calebite. When David heard in the desert that Nabal was shearing his sheep, he sent 10 servants, saying to them, "Go up to Carmel to see Nabal and give him greetings in my name. Then you will say to my brother, peace to you and your house, peace to all that is yours." Verse 7 says, "Now I hear that they are shearing sheep for you. When your shepherds were with us, we neither insulted them nor harmed them the whole time they were in
Carmel.
Ask your own servants. They can tell you, may my servants find favor in your sight, for we have come at the time of a holiday. Please provide us, your servants, and your son David with whatever you can spare." So David's servants went and spoke all these words to Nabal in David's name. Then they paused. But Nabal responded to David's servants, "Who is David and who is this son of Jesse?" This is a time when many servants are breaking away from the masters. "Should I take my bread and my water and my meat that I have slaughtered to for my shearers and give them to these men? I don't even know where they came from." So David's servants went on their way. When they had returned, they came and told David all these things. And David instructed his men, "Each of you strap on your sword." So each one strapped on his sword, and David also strapped on his sword. About 400 men followed David up, while 200 stayed behind with the equipment. There's, I guess King James says, with the stuff. That's a principle we might want to look at sometime. Staying back with the stuff. Let me just cover it for just a second, just because we're here. 600 guys, about 600 men with David at the time. 400 of them strap on their swords and they're getting ready to go. 200 stay back with the stuff.
Sus espadas y 200 se quedaron con las cosas, con el equipo.
There's more than one thing to do in any effort that we undertake as the body of Christ. There's more than the out front thing. There's a staying with the stuff thing. It's not so glorious, but it's important. What happens if everybody goes and the stuff is left alone? Bad guys come and take it. So you got to have some people staying with the stuff, right? So in what we do day to day in the working of the body of Christ, some of it's out front, strap on your sword. Some of it's stay with the stuff kind of work. We got some of that coming up this Thursday, okay? And throughout this afternoon, starting this afternoon through Thursday night, we have some of that out front with a sword, some of it staying with the stuff, and everything in between. So it's a principle that goes on a lot back here, and you don't just leave your stuff alone. You don't neglect one thing to go to another. God's giving you stuff. You watch over your stuff while you go do other things as well. And it takes people doing their part. That's the point I'm trying to make here. And I appreciate people's hearts already offering to do their parts in this thing for the meal on Thursday night. So we'll get to that after. We'll get to the details of the practical things we're going to do this week. Okay. First of all, before I go on to what this results in, some people, if you look around and read all this skeptical stuff and whatever, people that really aren't believers or of the Word of God, and they are skeptical of everything and try to rewrite things. All of this is written. All these depictions of these events are written for our edification, so that we can glean what God would have us.
Dios puso ahí glean. Para nuestra edificación.
And some people would say, well, all these stories paint David as this wonderful, great, perfect guy, and really he was a rebel against the king, and he was doing all this stupid stuff. But you know, what I see is.
Lo que yo miro es.
What I believe is, you just have to look closely. Don't just glance past all the detail of what just happened. Because basically, David didn't have any real right to ask for stuff. They had sort of guarded the shepherds a little bit out in Carmel. They had kind of kept things safe and not had let marauders come in. But nobody asked them to do that. Okay, nobody asked David. Nabal did not ask him to do that. So, but they sort of protected the place that while the sheep were grazing and getting ready for shearing. And so David felt like he ought to be up for some of the good stuff that he was preparing because of the time of shearing. It was like a harvest time for sheep, if you want to think about it that way. This is a harvest time. It's a holiday. It's a big stuff. This is when you're going to make a lot of money off sheep. That's all sheep are good for is shearing and selling the wool and eating occasionally, but not even that great, I don't think. But anyway, so it's a holiday time, and he thinks he ought to participate in some of this because they kind of helped out. Now, if somebody comes to you without you having arranged with them to do something for you, and they tell you, I've done this for you, now pay me for it. Have you ever had that happen? I don't know that I really have exactly that, but I do know it does happen. People do something and then expect return without you ever asking them to do anything. Huh? Oh, yeah. Yeah. So what she's referring to is I asked for a quote on the sign, and they came and fixed it and sent me a bill. That's not what I asked for, but they want me to pay them because they did this work. Exactly that. Even though the work needed to be done, I didn't ask them to do it. But they did it and sent me a bill. Same thing here. Nobody asked David to guard the sheep, but he did it, and he basically sent him a bill. Give us some stuff because we're hungry. Basically, hunger drives a lot of what David does these days. He's got a bunch of guys, 600 men. Think about that, 600 men with him. And you're out in the middle of the wilderness. You don't have a refrigerator. You don't have Walmart. And so you got a lot of need. You're hungry all the time. So he sees this opportunity. So I don't think it's really exactly perfect of him, and it's such an upstanding thing to go ask for. They didn't demand it, but they went and asked. But then when they're told no, what does he do? Strap on your sword. He said no. He said, who is David? What do you mean, who is David? He's the one people sing about, right? Everybody knows who David is. Don't ask who David is. Everybody knows. He kills his tens of thousands. So don't act like you don't know who David is.
No.
Yeah, you don't know who he is? I'll show you who David is. I got the sword of Goliath, right?
Tengo la espada de Goliath.
Now, was that proper response, a proper response for a man of God? Probably not. He said he wouldn't give me stuff that I don't really have coming, so I'm going to go kill him and every male that belongs to him. That was the plan. Not one male in his whole reach of things is going to be alive tomorrow. That's what he says later. I should have kept reading. But probably not the right response. So I don't believe this story paints David as just this perfect man after God's own heart here. The man after God's own heart comes and goes, okay, as he is trained and sanctified and raised up and matured by God throughout his whole life, just like us.
Just like us.
Does your heart after God, does your part that's after God's own heart, does it come and go? According to who offended you or said no to you or just that you're hungry? What's that word they use? Hangry?
Hangry.
I think they're hangry. These people. They're hungry and now they're mad. Strap on your sword. So, I don't believe God said, I don't believe David said, let me consult with the Lord. Bring me the ephod and see what I should do about Nabal saying no. He didn't say that, did he? Now, anytime he did that, throughout all these stories, bring me the ephod or ask the prophet or whatever, then there you go. I'm seeking the voice of the Lord. But when you react, when he reacted just out of his soul, I'm hungry, and he insulted me, he knows who I am.
Tú sabes lo que tú eres.
By the way, his name Nabal means fool, and I know why they call him that.
Yo no sé por qué lo dicen eso.
In 14. But one of the servants told Nabal's wife, Abigail, David sent messengers from the desert to greet our Lord, but he screamed at them. These men were very good to us. They did not insult us, nor did we sustain any loss during the entire time we were together in the field. Think about that. It's kind of funny. It's not like they really did all that much for these shepherds. It's just they didn't hurt them. Almost, that's really kind of weird. They didn't insult us. They didn't hurt us, and we were together out in the field. Like, they had opportunities, so, you know, those are good guys. Maybe in those days, just the fact that somebody around that could hurt you didn't, that was a good thing. You know, you recognize that was a blessing. Both night and day, they were a protective wall for us the entire time we were with them while we were tending our flocks. Now, be aware of this and see, this is 17, and see what you can do. For disaster has been planned for our Lord and his entire household. He is such a wicked person that no one tells him anything. So they don't go tell Nabal that David strapped on Goliath's sword. They go tell his wife because nobody wants to talk to Nabal. Remember I said always try to put yourself in all the characters' places and these things. Have you ever been in a place that nobody even wants to tell you what you've done wrong? Because you're not receptive, or you lash out, or whatever it is. You've done something that needs to be corrected, and you don't even have a brother who's willing, a brother or sister who's willing to come alongside and tell you because of what they expect you to do, or say, or how you'll react. Maybe we don't even recognize that we've done that, but I trust we all have at some level. That we put ourselves in that place. That we have removed ourselves from even being addressed. Because people just don't want to mess with it. Nope, not going to tell Arthur, because I know how he'll be. He'll figure it out when David shows up with the sword of Goliath. Yeah. And actually, that is an excuse we use a lot. Oh, God won't let him get away with that. That's been part of real conversations over the years. Okay? Oh, God won't let him do that. But he's not going to send me to keep him from doing it. Sorry, I think God maybe already told you and you're just not going. So Abigail quickly took 200 loaves of bread. Two containers of wine. These aren't little containers. Okay? These are vats, big old barrels of wine. 5 prepared sheep, 5 sias of roasted grain, 100 bunches of raisins, and 200 lumps of pressed figs. She loaded them on the donkeys. And said to her servants, go on ahead of me, I will come after you. But she did not tell her husband Nabal. Guess what? Nobody wants to talk to Nabal. Because he's a fool. He acts the fool, he is a fool, and he's going to suffer the fool's fate. Put yourself in Nabal's shoes. Put yourself in Abigail's shoes. Put yourself in David's shoes. Everybody's shoes. Put yourself there. And make sure you're hearing anything God might want to say to you about any of this. Abigail doesn't say, let's take a little bit of bread out of these people. She like loads up the warehouse on the donkeys. She is not bashful. She's not timid. She recognizes a great need and she fills it with great provision. She's a wise, beautiful woman.
Es una mujer hermosa,
don't know how
sabia.
She got hooked up with Nabal.
No sabe cómo se juntó con
but
Nabal.
I'm sure it was prearranged by somebody.
Pero a lo mejor fue
riding on her donkey in verse 20, she went down under cover of the mountain. David and his men were coming down to meet her, and she encountered them. Now David had been thinking, in vain I guarded everything that belonged to this man in the desert. I didn't take anything from him, but he has repaid my good with evil. God will severely punish David if I leave alive until morning every male from all those who belong to him. All right, think about that for just a second. He has reacted to this insult with plans to use the sword, and then he claims it's all about pleasing God.
Y luego dice que es todo para agradecer a Dios, porque Dios lo
did God say that? Did he inquire of the Lord, or is he just saying this? I don't really know. It doesn't. It's really not much detail here, but it looks to me like he's trying to justify what he's about to do by including God in his
plan. Lo que va a hacer ahorita para incluir a Dios en su plan.
We never ever do that.
Pues nunca,
just jump
nunca
off into our own plan and then say, well, God's involved because it's me.
Pero Dios está,
I'm a man after God's own heart. Surely God will punish me if I don't do what I'm planning to do. That's what he's saying.
Dios me va a corregir, si no
when
no
Abigail saw David, she got down quickly from the donkey, threw herself down before David and bowed to the ground. Falling at his feet, she said, my Lord, I accept
burro,
all the
hasta el suelo y cayó a sus pies y le dijo, toda la culpa es mía.
I accept all the guilt.
Asunto, señor.
Why
por favor, escuche lo que
would she do
que
that?
Decir.
First of all, she is the wife of this man.
Thank
She's the wife of this fool. But she goes and says, I accept the guilt. She's got zero guilt. That kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it? Someone with no guilt takes all the guilt. Look, for, you know, there's all kinds of places that a picture of Christ shows up in throughout the Old Testament. But please let your female servants speak with my Lord. Please listen to the words of the short servant. My Lord should not pay attention to this wicked man Nabal. He simply lives up to his name.
Siempre mira su nombre.
His name means fool. He lives up to it. He indeed is foolish. But I, your servant, did not see the servants.
Pero yo su siervo nunca miré eso.
Now, my Lord, as surely as the Lord lives and as surely as you live, it is the Lord who has kept you from shedding blood and taking matters into your own hands. Just a minute ago, David said, if I don't do this, he's going to punish me. But she says, more accurately, I believe, that the Lord has stopped you. Now, David has a decision.
We all have
decisions regularly when we have our own plan and invited God to join us, and then someone or somehow God's plan actually is revealed, and we have to decide, are we going to give up ours and recognize His?
Y reconocer lo que es él.
Now may your enemies and those who seek to harm my Lord be like Nabal. Now let this present that your servant has brought to my Lord be given to the servants who follow my Lord. So she's offering all this provision, all this food. And please forgive the sin of your servant. For the Lord, capital L, Lord will certainly establish the house of my Lord, little L, David. Because my Lord fights the battles of the uppercase Lord, may no evil be found in you all your days. This is a very, very interesting thing, and I think this is something we probably have all experienced when we are involved in seeking God to be useful to God, that we go and do something in the natural, and we do something we believe we're supposed to be doing, and in the middle of it, God shows up. In the middle of it, God speaks. In the middle of it, all of a sudden, we're sort of prophetic, and we say something that changes someone's heart. Not because we plan to do that. She went to take provision and to deter his wrath, and yet in the middle of this, she starts speaking for the Lord. That she proclaimed some truth that really is prophetic truth. That it will come to pass. What does she say?
Y es algo.
Because my Lord fights the battles of the Lord, may no evil be found in you all your days. And before that she says, the Lord will certainly establish the house.
El Señor seguro.
Yeah.
Establecerá su casa de David.
In fact, later on God tells David that.
Dios le dice eso.
But right now, pero this is delivered by this woman who's trying to avert this great disaster. And in the middle of just trying to avert the disaster, she speaks God's truth. We should pray that those things happen to us as we go about our work, as we go about doing what we believe we're to do day to day. Look for opportunity and don't be bashful when something comes up and says, oh, wow, that's like powerful stuff. Let it out. And sometimes you don't even recognize it's powerful. Then it comes out and all of a sudden you see the effect it has.
Mira los efectos.
You didn't realize it. They hear it differently than you thought because it's empowered by the Holy Spirit because we're just obedient.
Perdido por el Espíritu Santo y ellos no están siendo obedientes.
In 29, when someone sets out to chase you, and to take your life, the life of the Lord will be wrapped securely in the bag of the living by the Lord your God. But he will sling away the lives of your enemies from the sling's pocket. Now she sounded like a prophet, like a real prophet, saying stuff that's kind of weird the way she said it. But basically, you're going to live and your enemy's going to die. By the way, she's speaking of future stuff. The kingdom under David, when by the time David dies and passes the kingdom of Solomon, they are at peace because all the enemies have been slung away. So this is truth that she's sharing, that she's speaking to David in the midst of just trying to save this disaster from happening. And the truth of God is coming out as she's willing to speak. And the Lord will not, the Lord in 30, will do for my Lord everything that he promised you, and he will make you a leader over Israel. Now, did she know all about the anointing and all that stuff from Samuel? Probably not. She's speaking because she is speaking for God. He is enabling that right now. That's what I believe. It doesn't say that. But when the truth of God comes out, is enabled by God. People don't make it up. And then God fills in the blanks. No, she's speaking for him. The truth will come. In 31, your conscience will not be overwhelmed with guilt for having poured out innocent blood and for having taken matters into your own hands. When the Lord has granted my Lord success, please remember your servant. Now she's going back and basically pointing out what you were about to do was all you, and it was not God's direction. You were taking it in your own hands. Now, she said it very nicely. She's very eloquent. But that's what she's saying. David, future king of Israel, you are about to take things in your own hands and spill innocent blood, but this is saving you from that. And I like this last line. Please remember your servant. When you make it big, Arthur, remember me. You know, remember how I helped you out, taught you everything you know. You know, that sort of attitude, except it's real. It's real because she knows who he's going to be. She knows what power he will have. And she just wants for him to remember this moment that she was used by God to deter this disaster. And then David said to Abigail, "Praise be the Lord, the God of Israel, who has sent you this day to me." A minute ago, remember, he says, "If I don't go do that, he's going to punish me." Now he says, "Praise God, you kept me." Are we really willing to hear that for ourselves when we're corrected, when our plan is pointed out to be our own doing and not God's? Are we so quick to repent, lay that down, and say, "Thank you, God, you kept me from that"? I think most of the time when we've got a plan in our natural man, we are pretty good at just sticking to it. Stick to the plan. I believe I understand this. There's a reason for me to be doing this. And I don't really want to inquire anymore about it. Look at this. David wasn't inquiring of God. He strapped on his sword and was headed to kill these people. He wasn't inquiring of God. Was he? He thought he was on a mission from God, like the Blues Brothers. Weren't they on the mission from God? They believed that, and they said it. But anyway, that's what he believed. And he is confronted and stopped and presented with a truth. Not because he was seeking it, but because God desired it for him. That's a faithful God. That's a faithful God who will come and present you with the truth even when you're not looking for it. He was on the way to do something stupid, something ungodly, not commanded by God, horrendous, shedding of innocent blood, not seeking God, but God, in his faithfulness to David, sent the truth to him. Wow. Don't depend on that. Like, "Oh, I'm just going to jump out there and God will stop me if it's not him." Okay? But he is able and he is willing to bring us the truth when we're not even looking for it. Thank God. Wow. Isn't that good news?
Man.
And David recognized it. Praise be your good judgment. May you yourself be rewarded for having prevented me this day from shedding blood and taking matters into my own hands. 34. He is repeating what she just said, admitting his fault, admitting his mistake. We need to learn from that. We need to do that. We need to be willing to when the truth comes and presents itself to us. Because what good is it if we don't? What good is the effort God makes to present the truth to us if we don't then recognize and repent of our own handiwork and recognize his? Otherwise, as surely as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, he who has prevented me from harming you, if you had not come so quickly to meet me, by morning's light, not even one male belonging to them all would have remained alive. Then David took from her hand what she had brought him. He said to her, "Go back to your home in peace. Be assured that I have listened to you and responded favorably." When Abigail went back to Nabal, he was holding a banquet in his house like that of the king. Nabal was having a good time and was very intoxicated. She told him nothing, absolutely nothing, until morning's light. You don't go try to tell a drunk the good news. Saved your life today, buddy. No, just recognize the situation. Not a good time to go talk to my foolish, drunken husband. So she leaves everything for the morning. And in the morning, when Nabal was sober, his wife told him about these matters.
Le dijo, eso es lo que había pasado.
He had a stroke and was paralyzed.
Le pegó now, un embolio y estuvo paralizado.
This is one of those times I'm not going to dig in real deep. I'm just going to tell you, that's kind of scary.
Eso es algo.
It's kind of like in basketball, you know, when they call a foul, and let's say a technical foul, and they think they shouldn't call a technical,
técnica.
Everybody's griping, oh, that wasn't a technical, you know, and so the guy goes to the free throw line and shoots and misses. What do they say? The ball never lies. Okay. I'm not sure if you make the connection here, but in the ball, had a stroke and was paralyzed. On hearing what had happened with God's intervention in David's plan,
could have befallen his people
or not. After about 10 days, the Lord struck the ball down, and he died. This Old Testament stuff really is hard to wrap my mind around sometimes, that the Lord struck him down. You know, again, over and over we see where life on this earth doesn't mean to God what it means to us, right? It can't. I mean, we think, oh, God would never kill anybody. He'd never do. It says God struck him down. Yeah, he did. And by the way, he let him suffer for 10 days before he did. I don't know. I don't know the details. I'm just saying it's a crazy story. So Nabal, the fool, who didn't respond favorably to David, the man after God's own heart, is dead 10 days later. Wow. Thank God for grace and mercy today. Because we'd all be dead. We'd all be dead if God really gave us what we deserve. When David heard that Nabal had died, he said, praise be the Lord who has vindicated me and avenged the insult that I suffered from Nabal. I'm not sure I would have said it quite like that. But David isn't, you know, God, you know, he's David. The Lord has kept his servant from doing evil, and he has repaid Nabal for his evil deeds. Then David sent word to Abigail and asked her to become his wife. He wastes no time. I don't know. This is a crazy story. So, yeah, before you bury your husband, would you like to get married? So David recognizes, you know, even though it doesn't line up with our maybe our opinion of how God ought to do things, but David recognizes God did this. Whether you like it or not, God did that. Because I was insulted, God did that. I think it speaks more to how God views David than anything. David's really, really important to God. And he knows what's coming. He knows what he's anointed him with. He knows how he's going to use him. And he cares greatly for him. He loves him, a man after his own heart. And so the servants of David went to Abigail at Carmel and said to her, David has sent us to you to bring you back to be his wife. And in verse 41, she rose, bowed her face toward the ground and said, your female servant, like a lowly servant, will wash the feet of the servants of my Lord. Then Abigail, in 42, quickly went and mounted her donkey with five of her female servants accompanying her. She followed David's messengers and became his wife. That's where we'll stop for today. I'll go back over this a little bit. Oh, yeah. So, take just a minute. Let's think about Nabal.
Y piensen en este Nabal.
And have we ever been in
that
much self-centered,
self-centeredness
that we reject even a reasonable request that someone is in need? And because of our self-centeredness, our greed, our whatever, that we reject it, ignore it, whatever. Never been there. And I'm not talking about to the point of causing a war. Even in the small things. Because we are held to a much higher standard than any of these people were. What you've done to the least of us, you've done to me. Have we ever passed up or rejected those opportunities? And in David, put yourself in David's position. Have you ever been so insulted and angry over someone's rejecting your request? Or something you thought was so normal and appropriate, and someone just says, no. And you get angry and you lash out. And for Abigail, have you ever seen a disaster coming and sought to avert it and end up speaking for the Lord? Or would you be willing to? I invite you right now to say, I would be willing. Just say that. Confess that right now. Father, I would be willing. Give me that sensitivity, Father. Let me have eyes to see and recognize how you could use me. Each one here, Father. That where evil is intended, by your hand, it can be averted and blessing come. Provision given. Lives saved.
Vidas salvadas.
In the natural and in the spiritual. However you want to use us, Father.
Como lo quieres usar, Señor. Padre.
And Father, we just love you. Love your word. We pray it does its work in us. In Jesus' name.
En nombre de Jesucristo.
Amen.
Amen.